Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And welcome. This is That's Life here with Dave and Tom. And this is a That's Sport for you to you. And we are going to be reviewing the Bahrain Grand Prix that took place this weekend as our new, hopefully, our new regular segment to review the races as they go by. So, as I said, I'm joined here with Tom. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Dave.
Hello. Are you well?
I am... I'm well.
You're well.
Yes.
Are you well? I'm marvellous. Thank you very much. So, did you?
So, can I just say before we start that this is the first ever time podcast that Dave is doing all the work for.
Oh, just to add that. Just to add that.
You know, Dave has decided to do his shift. You know,
finally,
after 4.5 years.
Well, it had to happen.
He's going
to
edit and release this show.
Well, the trouble is, I didn't want to do it, and then it'd be so much better than yours, and then you
don't want to put me to shame.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I'll try not to be too good.
But what about the parts where we talk over each other?
Are you going to mute us?
Are you going to mute me? What are you going to do?
I don't know. It depends on natural. That's something I need to.
And what about the parts where we just go off on one and talk over each other?
That's part of the hurdle. So I'll just work. I'll work with it as we go. I'm sure you won't be so mean.
So what if I say like, and you're like, oh. Just gonna have to mute that bit now. We'll cut it out completely.
Well, I'll just cut you out completely from the entire.
I wonder how much work I can give you. See how frustrating I can be for you.
Yeah, very.
This is revenge for all those times.
This is your sweet revenge. No, I thought you were a professional.
Yeah. No, I know. No, I am. I am professional. So, what's coming up on the show, Dave?
Well, we're just going to be having our thoughts and feelings on the Bahrain Grand Prix. That's it. So, have you seen the race?
Yes, I have. Have you seen the race?
I did see the race. I watched the race on German television. Big.
Wouldn't be much point in me being here if I hadn't watched it.
Well, I don't know.
Tom, what do you think of the race? Well, I didn't see it. Oh,
I could good stuff. I could just relay what happened to you, and you'd be like, "Yeah, oh, wow, I wish I watched it," and I'd be more. Have some more things to say, but you did see it. So
well, I did watch it.
Love, very, very good. It was a race that had everything, really, didn't it? It had close action, it had dramatic moments, it had teammates hitting each other, and at the end, true heartbreak for Charles Leclerc. I suppose we should start off with the eventual race winner. Well, actually, no. Let's not do that. Let's start off with the man who should have won. The race,
yes.
Charles Leclerc. What a performance! I mean, what can you say? not a lot.
What can I say?
Not a lot.
Yes, it's a real shame because he didn't just like he got pole, and then obviously the start wasn't very good.
That was his one,
and then he dropped down to third. Yeah, And then he looked like he might drop down to fourth. And I was thinking, oh, he's balls it up. Like, you know, it's gotten to him a bit. And then he just comes right back up and then passes, he passes his teammate in, you'd think, basically the same car, and then takes the lead and just drives off, really.
Yeah, exactly.
And the fact that he didn't win the race because of the car, I mean, I suppose at least he didn't bin it. That would have been worse. Yeah.
It could have been a race ending mistake. It could have been a race ending problem. But he kept going and he brought the car home. Eventually, in third positions, what I was reading, he lost one of the cylinders, I think, in the car. So he was down about 150 horsepower, or the equivalent of about 4 seconds of that. I mean, there's not much he could have done in that situation, really. I think Hamilton was very magnanimous. Is that the right word in the press conference and the podium celebration? He understood that. Charles, well, he's robbed basically, and I think that was all very, very plain to see.
But I think it's sort of a strange one because he's saying to him like, oh, like it's a real shame that you didn't win, and like it's really like, you know, it's sad and all that, and you like deserved it. But then he must be sort of quite pleased in a sense as well because he's a rival.
Yes.
So you're kind of thinking like
two minds.
I don't want to be too nice to him because in a 6 months' time, you might be winning the championship, and I might be like, I don't know, like it was like a teacher talking to a student.
Yeah, yeah, it was a very,
that's what the impression I got. Agreed. Where's their rivals, really?
Yeah, it was a very philosophical Lewis Hamilton, I thought.
Yeah,
he was taking the higher ground. I stuff like that's happened to Lewis in the past, so he can understand it. But you're right. He's very mature now, you know. And hearing him say those words is, you know, it's great. It's great for Charles. It's great for the sport. But as you say, Leclerc could well be his championship rival this year, and those points he won could be invaluable.
Yeah.
Could be invaluable come the end of the season.
Exactly.
So yeah.
How much do you reckon what happened to him is connected to the first race where the Ferraris were way off the pace? Do you think they were hiding something in the first race?
No. They wouldn't hide anything in the first race.
No, but not hiding, like hiding an issue, like trying not to let the same thing happen, and like perhaps they toned down the engine.
Oh, of course, because Vettel, he was slow, wasn't he? That's a good point, actually. I think I've not really seen that before. Yes, it's true. They could have been managing an issue that they didn't want to disclose, and the issue obviously crept up and got them in the clerk's car this race.
Because they were so slow in the first, like not slow, they were still like fourth and fifth, but where they wanted to be.
Yeah, not Mercedes pace.
Whereas in this race, it appears that they were where we all thought they'd be, which is at the front.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Obviously, in the Leclerc's hands, the Ferrari was away and gone. You know, he overtook. Apparently, Ferrari actually told Leclerc to stay in second place. Don't. I don't know if you saw that. You know the radio message where Leclerc says, "I'm faster, guys," early in the race, and then. Nothing. What they actually said to him was, "Okay, hold station for two laps." That was their response. Obviously, he just overtook Seb anyway into turn one, which was a great moment. So, interesting choice to go against what the team wishes there. But you know, that's the killer instinct, I think, for Leclerc, and that's why. Well, you know, Ferrari have got quite a decision on their hands. Well, not it throws the thing, throws cat among the pigeons a bit, because obviously Vettel's de facto team leader.
Yeah,
but he had a shocker of a race.
Yeah, and I'm thinking back to the first race when Leclerc was faster towards the end of the race, but then he came up close to Vettel, and then once he reached him, he then dropped back again. Was that a team telling him to stay behind?
That was the team. The team instruction was to hold station. Don't risk anything. Again, like you say, maybe they're noticing an issue. We don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But no, first.
But Leclerc, yeah. So, yeah, it's an interesting one.
So we're moving away from Leclerc. Obviously, he deserved the win. Should have won. Vettel, what's going through his mind at the moment? He's being upstaged again by a younger teammate. Yeah, upstaged. So beaten qualifying, obviously. Yeah. And then wheel to wheel racing with Hamilton, and Hamilton got the better of him. I can't tell you how brilliant that move from Hamilton was round the outside.
Yeah, round the outside, and then Vettel spun. Because I thought at first that they touched.
Yes,
and
yes,
then
yes.
You
yes.
see it again, and he's nowhere near him. Really.
Yeah, he's Hamilton.
He just spins on his own accord.
Hamilton's way gone, and I don't know. Vettel just spins himself out. It's absolutely bizarre, you know.
Because he said that it was his fault. Because the press was sort of saying, "Oh, is there a strong wind or something?"
Yeah. That's what Lewis suggested.
That just threw a car off, and he was like, "I don't know, but it was my fault." Like really, it just snapped out, or whatever. And
well, these problems seem to happen quite a lot. I mean,
yes, I was just about to say that.
Yeah. Ever since Germany last year, really, the amount of times Seb has made an error, a critical error, you have to say, whether that takes him out the race completely or drops him to the back, lose a lot of bases. It seems to be happening quite a lot. And that's something Ferrari can't ignore. I mean, if they want to be winning the constructors' title and the driver's title, they need the driver. It goes without saying, doesn't it? They need a driver who's consistently up there. And what's going through Sebastian's head at the moment? Yeah, it's a question mark.
It's quite interesting one because when he was at Red Bull, most of the time he was leading, and he's really good at when he leads, he can just drive away. Yeah. He seems to just be good at that when he's got the best car and he feels good in it. When he just isn't quite right and he's having to race, it's happening again and again now. I don't know what it is, if it's just. Perhaps I don't believe in luck, but perhaps it's just a string of bad luck where, you know, we all have
off days. Bad Everyone times has off in our days. Lives. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe it's just a few that have come at once. Or is it more of a big deal? I don't know.
Yeah, obviously everyone makes mistakes. But unfortunately, Vettel's are quite high profile.
So, yeah, I suppose when you're at the best team, well, the biggest team and one of the best teams, it's a big... Big deal when you spin, when you could win the race, as opposed to someone at the back has a spin, doesn't affect their result.
Exactly. I want to move on now to talk about Bottas, just very quickly. The winner of the Australian Grand Prix by a country mile, albeit damage to Hamilton's car, and everyone's saying, oh, wow, Valtteri Bottas, my goodness me, what an amazing! He's turned around. He's turned it around. He's going to be world champion this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And this race, what did he finish? About 20 seconds behind Hamilton. And this was this race.
Whether that's a blip or not.
Yeah, well, exactly. This race felt more like Bottas from last year than. He lucked into second place really because of the problems Ferrari had with both Leclerc. And Vettel having issues. Obviously, he was there, you know, consistent. He finished second. He's still in the lead of the title race, which is, you know, he's got positive from that. But warning signs straight away, Hamilton had his measure. And he overtook him as well. Hamilton overtook him.
And he passed him.
Yes.
That's the thing as well. Yeah. That pass was a real show of him, of Hamilton basically saying, like, I'm leader here. Like, I'm coming through, and you're not going to stop me.
Asserting dominance.
And he was just better than him.
The whole weekend.
Had
his measure.
Maybe just I don't know. Was a bad track for Bottas. Maybe just the car wasn't quite right. I don't know, but yeah. I mean, I hope the next race, or I hope we see the Bottas from the first race again. I hope he... I agree with what you're saying about last year. Like, it would seem like the last year's Bottas. But I don't know. I still think he's got more to him this year. There's some steeliness about him.
No, I think so too. Yeah. I think there's more to come from Bottas, and as he progresses through the season, gets on top of things, and we go to circuits. He should have won at Russia last year. Circuits like that.
Yeah.
I think he should be one of the drivers to beat.
Okay.
Who else had an what an interesting race? Lando Norris, obviously, scoring.
Oh, Lando Norris!
You messaged me straight after I was saying, Hang on, let me just get your words.
I'm calling it now. Future champion.
I'm calling it now. Norris, future world champion. So. On this day, that has been said, that has been written into the history books.
Yeah, just proof, yeah.
Yeah, so Lando Norris finished in sixth.
Sixth place, he
finished sixth in the McLaren.
But the reason I said that was more based on hearing him after the race.
Okay.
Because whilst he was pleased, he was really pleased, it was this like vibe of like I kind of knew I was going to do this. Like I know I'm good enough to be here. He just sort of fits in.
So confidence that he conducts himself. He's got that air of confidence about him.
And he's wise as well. I think he seems to be like they say it like a wise head on younger shoulders. And he just seems to be the whole package. I think.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I think he qualified quite well. He qualified, I think it was eighth or ninth, but he didn't have a good start. He dropped back a bit, and he basically finished sixth because of the problems occurred by the Renaults, which we'll get onto later, which we'll talk about later. which obviously plenty of McLaren. I want to bring in Sainz here, Carlos Sainz. Sainz was looking really racy.
That's pretty much what I was going to say. Like I heard him post race saying that if he'd passed Max, then he felt like he could have caught the Mercs and had a go at them.
He said he had the pace. So that's incredibly encouraging for McLaren and McLaren fans. I count myself as one of them. That Sainz looked like he had the could have passed Max definitely, and that probably could have translated to third place by the end of the race if the car had kept going
potentially
and if the race unfolded as it did. So that's what can you say? Obviously, ultimately, he had a racing incident with Max. Could have given Max a bit more room. It's one of those 50-50. No action was taken. And he felt
it. I think like you've got when it's Max, I think you kind of have to accept the fact that he's not going to give you an inch.
Yes, exactly.
Like he is very good at wheel-to-wheel racing. Like he's really good at that. He's good at all of it, really. But it's difficult to pass him.
He'll make his car as wide as possible.
And he will not give you an inch. He won't let it go until when he's completely been passed. So Sainz should really know that.
No. Well, he was teammates with him. So of all people, he should know that. it was one of those. It could have gone either way, and it just happened to be Carlos Sainz went down, and ultimately he retired from the race. For whatever reason, but the McLaren looked quick in his hands, and indeed in Lando Norris's hands. So as long as McLaren can actually develop their car well, they should be in good stead for the rest of the year.
Yeah, they at this stage they look like the fourth best team.
Indeed, I'd say. Yeah, and they
the hardly Haas got any points. Qualifying but
Haas. Oh, okay. Haas, let's move on. Let's move on to the Haas team. So Romain Grosjean, first of all, retired again. So he's actually at the bottom of the championship at the moment due to both non-finishes. Obviously, the first race went out with a wheel come loose due to a botched pit stop. We won't go into the details. This race, he had a coming together with Lance Stroll at the second corner. which again, no action was taken on behalf of the stewards, and I kind of agree. Was maybe Grosjean. I could have given you wouldn't expect it to be there. It was right at the edge of what was going to happen. Obviously, it messed up Stroll's race and it messed up Grosjean's race. So both had the penalty for that. And Kevin Magnussen so qualifies really well, high in the for sharp end of the grid, but finished nowhere.
Yeah, just didn't have. They did a one. It seems like the one stop
didn't work.
There was a few that tried it.
Ricciardo tried it. Magnussen tried it. It wasn't the way to go. They were just too slow managing their tires, and it was the wrong strategy call ultimately. Magnussen, he did really well in the opening race, but again, not so great here. And as you were saying, Haas seemed to qualify really well, but their race pace pulls away.
Yeah. So the qualifying pace, they're the fourth best team, like fairly comfortably, I'd say.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then on race pace, they're probably not. So, but you know, it's a long season.
Long season. So promising signs from Haas. But Grosjean, I don't know. Well, you can't judge Grosjean really because both reasons have been out of his control, you could say. But from what I've seen so far, it looks like Magnussen's got the edge on him a little bit. Kimi Raikkonen drove a solid race.
Yeah.
He got himself up into the...
Another solid race.
Again, Kimi, safe pair of hands. And in the Sauber's looking good. Sorry, I said Sauber.
Oh.
I did a faux pas. Sorry.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Oh. It's Alfa Romeo. It looks pretty good in his hands.
But it's got the soul of a Sauber.
If there's a,
what was that? Are you drinking?
I had a little swig.
Of wine, I guess.
Of the fabulous red drink. Yes, so Raikkonen very good. Giovinazzi... was he no
Joe
Venazzi, my apologies. Gustav.
Gustav.
I remember him having he had a coming together with Kvyat about before the pit stops. So Kvyat was torpedoed and crashed. So that was good. That made me laugh. not much to say there. That was
my favourite. One of my favourite parts of the race was Lance Stroll when he unlapped himself on
good point. Yes, that was a touchy moment.
That
wasn't
was just
it?
a lovely moment.
A very lovable moment, yes.
Although the thing is, we don't know if Max had been in the lead, we don't know if he would have dealt with it the same way or not.
Yeah.
But let's assume that he wouldn't have got involved. It kind of proves himself wrong by letting him through without defending him. Like, proving his last year when him and Ocon...
He's learned.
And he kind of said, like, you shouldn't get involved with the lead racer, whereas we're all going, you shouldn't be involved with a... You're in the lead. Why are you involved with a...
Don't risk...
lapped car. Like, just let him pass. It's not affecting your race. Blah, blah, blah. So the fact he let a car... unlap himself, kind of proves himself to be wrong. You see what I mean?
he's learned.
I suppose he's learned, but he made such a big deal about last year how it was completely Ocon's fault, blah, blah, blah. But this, in my view, proves Ocon to be right and him to be wrong.
Indeed.
Do you agree?
No, I'm absolutely with you on that one. If a lap car is coming, he's just made a pit stop, he's on fresher tyres, there's no point wasting your time fighting him because stopping him unlapping himself because you're going to ruin your race, you're going to ruin his race. Like he did. So I think Verstappen, that shows his capability of learning, I reckon. He took that on board and he's going with it. And good. That's a good sign.
It's good, but it's also like, I don't know, it's like backtracking on what he said before.
He made such
a stand about, you know, like he pushed him around and all that. He made it completely Ocon's fault. And yet now I feel like he's lost a little bit of his integrity.
Do you reckon? No, it's interesting you say that.
Well,
I don't think so.
Because he had his view and he was so sure about his view that he was right and Ocon was wrong.
Well,
but by allowing a lapped car to unlap himself without trying to defend them or whatever he was trying to do the first time round shows he was wrong to do that in the first place.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like not having a backbone. Like he's not willing to back up his point.
Well,
again, he's kind of going, okay, well, I was wrong. Just, I don't know if you kind of know what I mean.
I think if
you've got a view, you've got to be prepared to stick with your view. Like to go to the extent that he did to push a driver to say all the bad things he said and all stuff about him, to then you've got to back up that view. You can't then kind of like, oh, maybe some days I'll give it that, but when it suits me, I won't. You know what I mean? It's sort of, you can't have it both ways.
My view here is what Max said and did the Brazilian Grand Prix after the race was kind of heat of the moment. I think he's gone away. He's thought about it and realised he's in the wrong. I get where you're coming from though. You're right. He was resolute in what he said. You know, we've had the winter break. On reflection, he's thought, okay, yeah, I messed up.
And I think it all shows that he kind of accepts that it was his fault.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Now it would be the case. Seeing as we're on Red Bull, what do you make of Pierre Gasly and his performance so far? Know.
So in the first race, he was nowhere. It seemed he just wasn't competing. Mm. I don't know why. Like I know he got caught up in traffic during the race and it's quite a hard place to overtake. He had the Toro Rosso in front of him who has the same engine, I think.
That's right, yeah.
I'm not sure if you can confirm that. Yeah,
the same engine.
So obviously it's difficult to pass basically the same car in terms of speed on the straights. But he seemed to be nowhere. And then this race as well, he didn't qualify that well.
Mm.
Where did he qualify? Did he get through Q1?
He got through Q1. But he was in Q. He was eliminated in Q2.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. He's either just not quite there yet, or the car's not. Something's not agreeing. I don't know. Or is this a sign that he's not good enough? Like I know compared to Max, like we kind of all were like, well, Max is going to beat him. Because he would beat most drivers, but to this extent, is the Red Bull that bad a car?
That's the problem, isn't it? Do you think he's too soon for him to be in a top car?
Yeah, maybe. I really like him, and I really want him to do well. Yeah. I know. Like I think most of us do. Like most fans do. He seems like a nice guy. But yeah, maybe it's too soon, but
Two races in.
Did he get much choice in the, did he, like, did the team kind of say, right, you're coming up? Like, you're not going to turn down that sort of a chance.
Yeah, if you say no to a driver Red Bull, then that's, your career is over. You know, you're not going to, you're not, yeah, you're not going to say,
you, and you wouldn't,
no,
would you?
You're not going to say, oh, I'm not ready, I'm not ready, I'm not ready. No, you got to go, you got to go for it. Unfortunately, he's, you know, he's fighting with the midfield cars when Max Verstappen is challenging for podiums.
When he's up,
which obviously shows that's the capability of the car. So why isn't Gasly able to get that level of performance, same level of performance out of it? What's going on there? So Red Bull have really got to sit down with him and understand what's going wrong and turn it around and turn it around quickly, because we know how a cutthroat environment Red Bull is with their drivers. And I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, he finished behind Alexander Albon in the Toro Rosso.
Yeah, in the Toro. I mean,
that's not really going to go down so well, is it? It's,
no.
You need, and obviously in the Australia, he finished behind Danny Kvyat.
The other two.
Exactly. So he's got. He's,
it's one of those. It's one of those. Like, if they didn't bring him, like, if they didn't put Gasly in the car, and they put in another, like, I don't know who, but if they put in someone else, then that's sort of saying to, like, saying that they don't have faith in Gasly.
Yes.
If you know what I mean. But then now they've put him up. Where we're all kind of going, oh, is it too soon? Does he need a year more? Have they rushed him and now it's worse off now? Yeah. Like, it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Well, it begs a funny question. Who would Red Bull bring in?
Well, yeah, exactly. Unless it's one of the tour, like another tour. Yeah,
even would they go Kvyat? Really? I can't see it. No. Albon is too young.
Brendan Hart, not Brendan Hartley.
No, Brendan wouldn't go back. I don't think the only person two people I could think they could go back on would either be Sebastian Buemi or Jean-Éric Vergne, who are obviously racing in Formula E at the present moment. I'm sure they probably wouldn't say no. To getting back into Formula One, but would they? I don't know. It's a bit of a weird one. Like, who could they go back on? They haven't really got a reserve driver, do they, Red Bull?
Yeah, and they don't tend to go outside of their Red Bull
circle. Like, the circle, promote.
So
maybe David Coulthard has a chance for an unlikely comeback.
Maybe.
I don't think so. Somehow.
Did you see Hill did a tweet saying he's coming back for the next race?
Oh, did it?
Did you see that?
I didn't see that. That's really good to hear. Is he driving for Williams?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Hey, finally.
We should say that date of recording is the 1st of April. Because people won't realise.
What do you mean?
1st of April, the day of recording. It's April Fools. Like,
Damon Hill. It's not real. April Fools. Oh, I was really excited there.
Oh no, it is real. Sorry, I just mute that bit.
Dear. And do you want a quick mention on Williams then? George Russell finished a lap ahead of Robert Kubica.
He said he had a great time. He enjoyed himself.
He's having a great time. I guess that's all. Guess that's all they can do, really.
It's a shame, isn't it, for him? Like, first season F2 champion. He's just hasn't got the car.
I was saying about this. It's so weird. George Russell said he's the F2 champion, and the guy who finished second was Lando Norris. He jumped for McLaren, and the guy who finished third, Alexander Albon, he's Toro Rosso. Yeah. He's ahead of him, and then George Russell, the champion, and he's at the back.
He's the one.
How does that work? You know.
Well. I guess if you're looking long term, he's got the Mercedes backing. So maybe Russell, longer term, will have the better car.
I do think that driving for the Williams this year is probably going to do him quite well. He's going to learn the ropes, learn the circuits, and you'll see what it's like driving for a slower team. A bit like Daniel Ricciardo, he drove for HRT before moving up. He'll go from there.
Alonso did that as well when he was first in sport. The Minardi, he was at Minardi for a year.
Yeah, that's right. And then he moved to
Alonso.
Moved to Benetton, which became Renault.
Yeah. Good stuff. other points of note?
We haven't mentioned Renault. Are we going to go to Renault? What? Yeah, I think we'll finish on Renault.
Hulk.
So.
Well, Hulk. Yeah, Hulk had a good race. He would have been sixth. Best of the race.
Hulk had a very good race. Very important.
In fact, best of including. Well, obviously, like I do include Pierre Gasly in the top six. Like, is it a top five now? I don't really know where it's been, but Hulk was kind of best of the rest. If you don't include Pierre Gasly,
he was best of the rest. No, you're right.
Which he was last season.
it's where he likes to be. I think he's in that comfort zone. Best of the rest.
Yeah, but nobody wants to give him a top drive. No one's taking a chance then.
Yeah, it's a bit odd that I think he's going to be stuck there for a little while. No, Hulkenberg did he drove a very good race, Calca race, in that fifth place. And then it all went wrong.
Yeah, I've never seen two cars. Were the two connected? Presumably not.
Well, they're both mechanical issues. So I don't think it was... I think it's just a strange coincidence that both the cars broke down on the same lap in virtually the same place. It's just bonkers, really, when you think about it. What an embarrassment. For Renault as well. I mean, blimey. And I bet Christian Horner must be feeling quite smug.
Chuckling to himself.
Yeah, feeling quite smug with that.
Because I think on Sky Sports, one of the things they said, like when they first went off, is that have they run out of fuel? Like, that was one of the first things. And then perhaps they didn't fuel them both. But it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. That was rubbish from Sky Sports.
Oh, burn.
As usual.
Dig, little dig. Sky Sports are brilliant.
Except when they're wrong.
Which is very rarely. It wasn't that they were wrong. They were just
saying
suggesting
rubbish.
Things
rubbish.
Before we knew the facts.
Well,
it's good. Commentating.
Well,
it
was quite obviously an engine problem because it just shut down. The engine didn't have any fuel on the car stop. You could see the.
But it just went quiet.
You could see
so
the
fuel might just
run out.
You know. Yeah, but when you first see them off, you're like, oh, they've both just randomly stopped together. You know, you kind of go, okay, what could it be? What could it be? Anyway,
you jumped to
we're tangenting.
Jump to fuel? No, don't buy it. Ricciardo, he led the race.
Did he?
He did lead the race for about two corners, and then Charles Leclerc overtook him. But Renault did indeed lead the race, not for a lap, but for a couple of meters. So that Renault, I think they've got a solid foundation going forward. But it's going to be a hell of a post-mortem because they've lost out a lot of points this season already.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ricciardo not scoring in Australia. Hulkenberg did score. But obviously, there's a fierce rivalry between them and Haas. And
Haas.
I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it?
See, you used to say Haas and I said Haas. And then
I swapped it.
Now we've swapped. And I say Haas and you say Haas.
Can I just say the American team?
The American team,
does everyone know who I'm referring to? So, the American team, big rival with Renault. And I think Renault's probably overall the quicker package. And they definitely have one of the better driver lines this year. Ricciardo's still settling in, I think, to the Renault.
Yeah.
It's going to take a bit longer to totally get used to it. And it was a stronger performance, but they can't be having these reliability issues.
Yeah. I mean, they nearly made it. They're only
a couple of laps to go, and obviously, and it saved Charles Leclerc's bacon because he would have been overtook by Verstappen had it not been for the late safety car, which was I wasn't too sure why a safety car was called actually, but that's just me.
Yeah, I was wondering that
the car was in a potentially dangerous place, I suppose.
Yeah, they had stewards on the track, maybe.
Yeah, that's
quite an interesting thing is if the Renaults had broken down like two or three laps before they did, then Leclerc probably would have finished last.
Yes.
Because at the restart, everyone would have
he would have
put a final lap
straight past
it.
If it You're absolutely right. That did cross my mind, actually. Oh, no, Leclerc's done for if they restart the race. He might as well just peer
into the pit. Either going to be really good or rubbish.
So there we are. So final thoughts on the race, then?
Very good race. Had it all except for a big crash. Like, there was no crash. There wasn't any, really.
Lots of contacts, but no.
Not that we won a big crash, but no, there wasn't
The big highlight for me was seeing Sebastian Vettel's front wing completely collapse. That was quite a big incident, and you never see that. It's an incredible image of Seb losing his front wing like that. And
obviously it could have gone much worse in it, you know. Could have, like, depending on when he'd done that, he might have gone into
That's what I was thinking.
It happened at a good time, really.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what crossed my mind. If that had gone under him just as he broke for the corner, he would have been
in the barriers,
in the wall.
At high speed.
Yes, quite. But they didn't avoid that and instead finished in fifth position. So, what's the next race? Is China?
China in
question,
2 weeks.
Question mark.
Just less
China,
than 2 weeks.
2 weeks' time. Leclerc, I think Ferrari looks like they're definitely the team to beat at the moment. Maybe the car's a little bit more sensitive to certain track types.
Yeah.
Obviously, in Australia, they weren't so well. They weren't so good. And maybe it's a little bit more tricky set up. But it looks to me like when they do get it set up in that sweet spot, the car is the team to beat at the moment. But Mercedes are forever going to be there. You never can discount them, especially in the hands of Lewis Hamilton. Would like to see the Bottas 2.0 back again.
That'd be nice.
That would be nice. So I think it's going to be an amazing season. There's a hell of a lot of stories, a lot to look out for. To wrap up, we hope you've enjoyed this segment of us discussing the two races so far, and we hope to do more regular ones as the season progresses.
This is the first of a few, we hope.
Yeah.
At least a few
more. Exactly.
To come.
So if you've enjoyed, give us a subscribe, give us a like, and comment as well if you have anything to add to the debate. So thanks very much to Tom. Tom sounds tired.
Thank you. No, I'm fine. I'm cracking. Are we going to do another show after this one?
I don't think
a proper dad's life.
Proper dad's life.
Sorry, little dick. Sorry, not that this isn't proper.
This is a sports for you.
F1. Yeah. Sorry, take that. Just mute that bit.
A lot of rubbish. Anyway,
It's been good.
Thank you very much.
I'm enjoying myself. Thanks, Dave.
And we hope to see you all again in the next show.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.